those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, he's talking to the believer now, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if he doesn't live in you, he's not controlling your action, your attitude, your words, and your behavior. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ.
From the woman caught in adultery to those of us who have committed to follow Christ, the Bible tells us that we are to be holy just as the Lord our God is holy. This is Jerry G. Martin with The Light of the World, and I encourage you to come and walk with us as we share these messages on living a holy life.
Jesus was going about his business of reaching people for the kingdom of God, and his detractors were again challenging his methods. They were offended that Jesus did not do the things the way they were accustomed to. Although he was reaching thousands of people, he was breaking some religious rules. We talked about that last time. In the book of Mark, as we've been studying that gospel and discovering Jesus, Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 1, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the traditions of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" We began this passage last time, so I want to complete that today. The question that was asked here in this passage to Jesus is this: why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders? Why don't they live according to the tradition of the elders? Now, the tradition of the elders were practices and teachings that were put into place to accommodate and facilitate the worship of God. They were not the Word of God. They were the things that were added to help out the Word of God. We talked about that last time, about some of the practices in the church, even today, that we find ourselves as we get into some ritualistic, habitual way of doing things, and over the years, they become what we are supposed to do in church to authenticate our righteousness and our holiness and our walk with God. And we look at those things, and we can, after a while, put more importance on those things than we do on the Word of God. And that's what had happened. And they put that importance on this ceremonial washing. If we're reading this today, we're looking at the Pharisees asking Jesus, "Why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat?" We should wash our hands before we eat. But they weren't just talking about a hand washing. They were talking about the ceremonial washing and going through all of the steps of the rituals to be sure that it's washed just right. And that meant that you were now clean, and whatever you touch to eat could be clean, or else you will be defiled in your body, and now you are unclean because you did not wash ceremonially. And that's what they were getting to. Through the years, the tradition became more important than the Word of God. It would be like us having some seasoned church leaders saying to us today, "Why don't you preach Christ in all of your sermons, Pastor? You got to tell the church every time you preach that He got up early one Sunday morning. And how did he get up? With all power, where? In his hands. Some have said that if you don't go through that passage or that proclamation at the end of your sermons, you haven't really preached, because you must preach Jesus in every sermon if you're going to do things right and holy. And I'm saying, where did you get that from? Some are saying that you must baptize in the name of Jesus, or else your baptism is invalid. They will say that. Some will say, you have to say these words. I said, well, I baptized them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They said, no, that's not a name. That's a title. You have to do it just this way. So where did you get that from? Someone says, Pastor, I've been to the church and I know you welcome the visitors, but why didn't you give the people a chance to respond to the welcome? You know how you had to get up and respond to the welcome? When you go to some churches, that just becomes habits and rituals and ways that people do things. Somebody told me that they didn't want to be a member here because we didn't have program to pass out on Sunday. I said, we used to pass them out until we determined that nobody read them. So how did you know they didn't read them? Because I put a note in there. So if anybody's reading this, let the pastor know, and nobody said anything. So we quit printing them. I said, we're not going to print another one. They've been in there 3 weeks and nobody said, Pastor, I saw this note. What do you want? So I said, we're not going to put it in there. We're not going to go through all of that to pass out a program. We may not even go with the schedule anyway.
Amen.
None of those things that we're talking about are essential to the message of salvation or redemption. However, some will not conduct a church service without emphasizing some of these things that we have come to practice. It's not that you have to try to do something weird or strange or different every time, but when you let your practice stands in the way of what God's word is, then you stepped across the line. Because Jesus was interested in keeping the main thing, he did not answer the question of the church leaders. Instead, he gave them a lesson. Look at verse 6. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Let me point out again in this passage what he has emphasized. Number one, he called them hypocrites. He said, yeah, you hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? That's from that Greek word that announces that one with a mask. You have a mask on to throw people off from who you really are. We know what hypocrites are. Folks say they don't want to go to church because it's full of what? Anybody ever told you that? I don't want to go to church because there's hypocrites in the church. When somebody told me that, I said, you lying. That's not the reason you don't want to go to church. You go to the nightclub, it's full of hypocrites. Everybody at the club is lying. They take their rings off like they're not married. Instead of telling you he's riding on the back of a garbage truck, he tell you he's a sanitation engineer. So everybody's lying. They're trying to present something about themselves who they are not. I said, you don't have a problem with hypocrites. But what is a hypocrite? One who presents themselves as something they are not. So Jesus called them hypocrites. And then in reference to God, he says, you honor me, God, with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. I want you to think about that in this message today, that Jesus spoke that to those Pharisees. And if he was here today, would he say the same thing about us? That we honor him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. We honor him with our lips. I met someone in the hallway this morning. I said, good morning. He said, praise the Lord. I said good morning. I ain't say praise the Lord. So we have a practice. We can honor him with our lips. Oh, yes, I'm saved. I know the man upstairs. I said, he ain't upstairs. I'm saved. I know God. I'm a Christian. They were arguing this week about whether our president is a Christian. Ask the Lord. The Lord knows. I can't say whether he's a Christian or not. I don't know. I don't know whether you're one. That's personal between you and the Lord. That's him. I can't say what he is. Even though he might say what he is, that don't make him that. And what the Lord is saying, you can say what you are too. That don't make you that. It's going to be nice so y'all can lighten up, okay? So you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Then thirdly, he said, you worship in vain. You worship in vain. You're just going through the motions. Thirdly, your teachings are but rules taught by men. It's not the word of God. Now, you have gotten to the point where you've come up with some rules and practices and thoughts and messages that are taught by men so that people can enjoy it without getting offended at you. Because when you teach the word of God, just like the word of God is, somebody sometime is going to get offended. But if they take the word of God, it's going to straighten out your life. It's going to build you up. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to cause you to live righteous and holy and be blessed by the things of God. Amen. But the word of God is challenging. And then fifthly, he says, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. If there's one thing that we can be assured of today in our churches is that a lot of us have let go the commands of God and we're holding on to the traditions of men. Jesus went on to give them an example of their hypocrisy in verses 9 through 13. We're not going to read that, but he was talking to them about how they will allow men to dishonor their parents if they were going to keep their own money and inheritance and all of that. And he says, let me tell you how this works again. You have some things that you are allowing that are hypocritical, but you want to come and ask me about washing up and being clean? He says, let me tell you how this works when we talk about being clean. I want to use this today to share with you how it works when it talks about being clean. Verse 14, again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Now, that's one of those little phrases that we just run right by. But he's saying, now, wait a minute. I want to get your undivided attention. I want you to stop what you're doing. I want you to stop talking. And if he was living today, stop looking at your phone. Stop texting. Stop seeing who's on Facebook. Stop buzzing and stop vibrating and listen to me, everybody, and understand this. Now look at what he said. There is nothing outside of a man that can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. Now, he's talking physically now. He said, the Pharisees are saying you need to wash your hands because you might touch something and eat it, and then you're going to be unclean. He says, there's nothing you can eat. And you know what? I hate to say this as a pastor. It's nothing you can drink that's going to make you unclean. It might make you drunk. But he says, there's nothing that's going to go into you that's going to make you unclean. But it's what comes out of you that make you unclean. The religious leaders were emphasizing the wrong thing. They thought that ceremonial washing would make you clean. They thought that things you ate or touched would make you unclean. Jesus pointed out that nothing from the outside can go into you and make you unclean or defiled. So you ought to be saying, well, thank you, Lord. Come on, say, thank you, Lord. You can eat them pork chops. Verse 17 says, after he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. His disciples, you know, he had to really kind of work with them. Remember, this is not the only time that after he taught something and they left and they were all together, the disciples would come to him and say, so what do you mean by that? I heard that, but what did you mean? He says, are you so dull? I think I'll start using that instead of like, are you some kind of dummy? But he was saying, are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? So he just gives him a physiology lesson. It doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. Whatever you're eating or drinking doesn't go into your heart, it goes into your stomach and out of his body. And saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And then he goes on to say, if you want to know what makes a man, and in this case a woman to a person, unclean, I'm going to tell you. Verse 20. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. You say, well, what do you mean by that? From within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. I think he hit everybody in here. If you say, that's not me, well, fall on the folly. Because that's folly for you to tell me that he didn't hit you. All these evils comes from inside and makes a man unclean. When you look at that list that he mentioned, if all of that was eliminated, man, what kind of society would we be in? We'd be in a wonderful, blessed society. Let's look at that a little bit closer. It is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. As I was looking at this, my thought was this. If it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean, how does it get into a man in the first place? It has to get in you to come out of you. So what comes out of you make you unclean. David mentioned this in Psalms 51:5. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And the King James says, from my mother's womb, I was sinful. And he talks about that sin nature that we all inherited, our DNA from Adam when he sinned against God. And the Bible says, so when one man sinned, sin entered the world, and through that one man all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. What is sin? It is the operation of that nature that is on the inside of us that leans toward these things that are evil. It leans that way. That's a natural tendency. It is innate in us. It is natural to us to sin. It is a man's nature to do that. It is our nature to do that. That's why they don't have to teach us how to do that. They have to teach us how to steal. You've stolen something, but did you have stealing lessons? Have you had lying lessons? Your parents or your friends took you to the side and says, okay, you're getting old enough to learn how to lie now. We're going to have to teach you how to lie. No, we don't have to teach you how to lie. That was natural to you. Just like a dog barks and they don't have to be taught how to bark because it's in his nature. Sin is in our nature. And Jesus said, these things will come out of you. If it's in there, it's going to manifest itself. That's why I don't rail against people who are doing sinful things when they're sinners, because they're doing what sinners do. Sinners sin and have unclean activities that come out of us. We were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. That's why we have to be born again. We have to be born again and receive the Spirit of God, that now we have the sin nature who's still on the inside of us, and we have a new nature of the Spirit of God who wants to control our lives, and now we have a choice. See, before you got saved, you didn't have a choice. You functioned according to that sin nature, and you did whatever that sin nature promoted or prompted you to do. You just did it, and you didn't think anything was wrong with it. I mean, you just flowed like that. That's life. This is what I do. What's wrong with you trying to tell me I'm wrong? I'm not wrong. Yeah, I like to party. I like to drink. I like to get down. Yeah, that's life. What's wrong with that? I like to have a good time. I like to party. I like to have sex with people. What's the problem? Jesus said, whatever's in a man's heart, it's coming out. That's your heart attack. It's going to attack. It's going to attack. It's going to come out. It's not going to stay there. It's coming out. And Jesus said, now that's what you have to worry about. Not washing your hands. You got to worry about that unclean heart, because that unclean heart is going to manifest itself. Paul talked about this whole process in the book of Romans. And in chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, he said, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit, that's capital S, the Spirit of God, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Then he compares, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, he's talking to the believer now, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if he doesn't live in you, he's not controlling your action, your attitude, your words, and your behavior. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Paul is saying, yes, when you get saved, your sin nature doesn't disappear. I used to think that because that's the way they testified in the church I used to grow up in. I've been saved all day, no evil have I done. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with the mighty burning fire. I'm saved and I'm holy, I'm sanctified. The devil can't do me no harm. And then I got saved and he did me some harm. That was false advertising. I thought that once you got saved, you could not sin anymore. But that's not true. Paul is saying, whoever you yield yourself to, that's whose servant you are. The dynamics change when you're a sinner and you don't have the Spirit of God in you. You cannot please God because he's in control. The process of salvation has to do with the Spirit of God coming to take up residence in you, so that he breaks the power of that sinful nature who was controlling you, and he steps up on the throne. And as long as you yield yourself to the Spirit of God in obedience, sin cannot master your life.
Many of us have things going on in our lives that, if brought before the Lord, we would be guilty. The good news is that Jesus says, I'm not going to condemn you, but he will tell us that his grace is sufficient and his forgiveness is available to us, but we are to go and sin no more. You may have asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life. The question is he the Lord of your life? If you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, invite him. Then determine that you will walk with him and allow him to use your life to reach others. This is Jerry G. Martin. If you would like us to pray with you to receive Jesus Christ, or for any of your prayer needs, call us right now at 281-964-1393. 281-964-1393. To listen to this message again, you can do so by going to our podcast at The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. You can join us on our Sunday morning services online at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. Or you can join us in person each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 16161 Old Humble Road. We'd love to have you to come out and join with us as Pastor Jackie is sharing great messages that will help you to grow and help you to be all that God wants you to be. For those of you who are looking for books and Bibles or church supplies, we have the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus. For more information, call 281-441-2885. Now for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.